Hey everybody, what's going on? Rob Cicerino back here to talk with you about Big Brother 21. Very excited to kick off another summer here on Rob Has a Podcast, and I'm very happy to be reunited again with a man who will be taking you through the live feeds every step of the way. Please welcome the great Taryn Armstrong. Taryn, how are you?
Rob, so excited. It's been too long.
It's been a minute. Taryn, you had a little bit of a break from Big Brother Canada. Is the robot's battery recharged?
I think we're just about there. Yeah, I'm ready to go.
Okay. All right. Taryn, very excited to talk about some Big Brother 21. We're just going to talk about the headlines here today. We got our cast this morning. We had Big Jeff back in the Big Brother house to talk to our 16 new players. We're going to talk about some of the headlines, some of the interesting storylines that we're following at this hour. And then later on this week, we'll get together with the entire LFC and have our Big Brother 21 draft, and we'll talk through everything that we saw here today, and then also as the other interviews come rolling in, like the Queen Aika and everybody else that got to talk to these Big Brother contestants.
Yes, very excited in particular for those Aika interviews. I feel like they have definitely become the gold standard of preseason interviews.
Yeah, so we're very excited about that. And then the Big Brother 21 season premiere is coming up. It's a two-night premiere. A little different. This is on a Tuesday and Wednesday. I feel like that in the past we get a Wednesday and Thursday, but we'll have Tuesday and Wednesday. And then I believe also the two-hour Amazing Race finale coming up next week. And Taryn, I do appreciate you filling in for me on the Amazing Race exit interview this past week.
Yes, of course. It was very fun to talk to some Amazing Race teams. I've been a big Amazing Race fan for a while. So and also, of course, there were Big Brother teams on there. So it's been fun.
Of course, then Tuesday and Wednesday, the two-night Big Brother 21 premiere. And then we will expect the live feeds to kick in, what, Wednesday night after that episode?
I assume so. Probably a decent amount after the episode, like when it airs on the West Coast.
Right. And then we'll get into our updates kicking off on 1 week from Thursday coming up on the 27th. So a lot to come as we kick off what is expected to be, what, another 98, 99 day season of Big Brother, Taryn?
Yes, something like that. Something along the lines of nearly 100 days.
Okay. All right. So a lot to get into. Let me quickly thank a sponsor for this episode of the podcast, and then we'll get into everything. I want to take a moment and thank our friends over at Dole. And if you've been listening for the past couple of weeks, you've probably heard me talk about Dole's smoothie blends, but they've got these amazing frozen Dole acai bowls too. With the weather starting to warm up, there's nothing that cools me down quite like a delicious acai bowl. It's light and refreshing, and if you've ever had one, then you know exactly what I'm talking about. These smoothie bowls are great for a delicious breakfast or anytime as a snack, and they're so convenient with Dole acai bowls. There's no washing or prep work, no blender to clean. All you have to do is let it thaw and put it in the microwave for 30 seconds, grab a spoon, and enjoy. Instead of going to the smoothie bowl shop every morning, it's so much more convenient to just pull one out of the freezer rather than having to go out and wait in line. And Dole acai bowls are a fraction of the price and just as delicious. They come in three great flavors: original, protein, and tropical. And the best part is each one is 230 calories or fewer. So if you're looking for something tasty first thing in the morning or to sneak in a quick snack break, try Dole acai bowls. Find them in your frozen aisle. Taryn, all right, we got to meet our 16 new Big Brother cast members this morning, and it seems as though the world is excited about having our 16 new players.
Yes, no returning players. You know, I'm sure everyone would be very excited if it was an all-star cast of returning players, but I think we have very little hope of that happening. So the fact that it is not a mixed season is very, very exciting that we have a full new player cast that will remain that way as long as we continue to knock on wood and hope that nothing else happens, like Paul comes in and changes
Right. Yeah. Once upon a time, we were happy about the all new player cast of Big Brother 19. But then we started to hear some whispers about Paul in the days leading up to it. As for the all-star cast, I do think our best bet is in that celebrity Big Brother slot. Mm-hmm. I think that, you know, that 3 weeks in January, February, I think is our best hope for any sort of Big Brother all-stars bonanza.
Yes, I recently spoke with Dan Geesling,
yes,
finally,
congratulations,
on the Taran Show. Yes, and he said that he was done with Big Brother. He doesn't really see himself going back, so I tried to pitch him the celebrity, like, oh, just what about a couple weeks? So who knows?
Yes, okay, you have to listen to the Taran Show interview with Dan to find out what he said. Okay, so 16 new players, so I think that this is a good omen for the season, right?
So far, so good. You know, 16 new players. You know, it is a young cast, but it's an interesting cast. So, you know, at the very least, I think the first major hurdle to get across with Big Brother is it's not a mixed cast. So we're okay.
Okay. So I watched about 4 hours streaming of Big Jeff talking to the Big Brother contestants. I know that it looked like that there was a little bit of an issue with getting Big Jeff out there. His flight was canceled. Big Jeff managed to get there and talk to all 16 of the new players. It seemed like that we had, from my perspective, we had more quote unquote new fans than in recent memory.
Yes. A lot of these people were like, Jeff asked them, Do you like the show? Do you watch it? And they were like, oh, I love Big Brother. Yeah. I've watched a few seasons now.
Yes.
One of those.
And so is that by design, Taran? Because I know that year after year, we talk about, you know, where I feel like that in Big Brother 20, we had a lot of people who were super fans of the show, people that knew the show really well. And we get to where the contestants sort of, they know exactly what's going to happen when. It's very hard to surprise people. Is this something that you think that that Robin Cass and the producers want the contestants to be surprised by twists that might not be surprising to the viewers?
Based on what Robin Cass has tweeted about in the past, I think it's mostly that her philosophy is that you can't have a bunch of fans. It's not interesting enough that recruits are often more valuable. I imagine because, you know, it is her job to find people. She is trying to create the perfect chemistry in the cast. And so, you know, she wants to find the right people for that. And just relying on fans is not always going to give her what she wants. We know that Survivor, I think, recently has kind of shifted their philosophy more toward wanting fans of the game so that people will be more bold when they play. And I think that has been successful on Survivor. And I'm not sure that the current formula has been super successful on Big Brother. We, as you mentioned, season 20 was a very fun season. And I do think it was so fun in large part because of the people that were willing to play aggressively. And many of them were fans of the show. So,
Although towards the end of the season where everybody knew what was coming, like it was very hard for anybody to be thrown off by anything that, like, people knew exactly what was coming on which day, and that can also not be fun.
Yes. I mean, if you ask me, a great solution for that would be to
mix it up.
Change things up a little bit.
Yeah. But it's a good point that you bring up about Survivor, where the two shows seem like completely divergent in terms of what they're looking for. Because when we look at like this last cycle of Survivor, I don't think that you can come up with more than three or four people between Survivors 37 and 38 that really did not have an exceptional grasp of the game and what they were going into whereas there are a lot of these quote unquote new fans coming into Big Brother.
Yes. And I think that obviously you can always point to, well, this person was a fan and they were a dud, because I don't think being a fan guarantees that you're going to be a good player or an entertaining player. But I do think that you're more likely to be both of those things. And also, I think that the more fans that are in the house, the more likely that the fans are going to be able to really spread their wings, because if you're one fan or a couple of fans in a sea of recruits, you kind of have to play a little more scared. You can't reveal how much you know about the show. You have to, you know, play a little more scared because other people are not playing at your level. And if you go out aggressive, then you're going to be out in front and you're going to go home. However, you know, seasons that we've seen of even Big Brother that have had a lot of fans in the cast, particularly Big Brother Canada 6 or Big Brother 20, we see that a lot of people going really hard all at once leads to a lot of interesting gameplay and drama.
Yes. There are also the people that don't know the show but are too stupid to not know that they don't know what they're doing. And yes, that's also very fun. So yes, we'll see.
There are some great recruits that we will not, you know, let that point be unsaid, because, you know, we have some great people. You know, I enjoyed Fessy on the show last year. We just had a great recruit on Big Brother Canada and Anthony. So, you know, there are some hits there. But I do think it is less likely to be a hit when we get those recruits.
Taryn, could you talk us through some of the standouts in your mind in this Big Brother 21 cast?
Some standouts. All right. So the first person that stands out to me is somebody that really stands out from the cast in almost every way, because he is significantly older than the rest of the cast. At 53, we have Mr. Cliff Hogg III.
Yes. Cliff Hogg is a really interesting guy, and I'm very excited to see what he can do here, because he just seems like that he will be a square peg at the very least in this house.
Yes. He said, I'd like to think that I'm just like a normal person, but I made it on the show, so something must be wrong with me.
Yeah. He seemed very wary of going the way of Summer of Steve or a Glenn. And so I think that he needs to make sure that he can fit in, or at least be seen as somebody who is fun, because he is such an easy target for that first HOH.
Yes. Now, Mr. Hogg is a big fan of the show, probably the biggest fan that I can tell of the entire cast. He's been watching since season 8, and he is actually a listener of this very podcast.
Oh.
Yes.
Smart
guy. His daughter is a patron, and she said that he said to her that he will not know what's going on in the house because he won't be able to listen to my morning updates every morning.
Okay. So hopefully that he can at least do some talking to the camera and maybe provide you with some of the information that you're looking for.
Yes. He said he hopes he doesn't bore me. So hopefully he doesn't. He seems very personable. That's what I felt in his interview with Jeff. And you're right. He seemed very wary of the idea that he is the older guy in the house, and he saw what happened to Steve. He saw what happened to Glenn, that this is not a great spot for you to be in early on in the game. And he seemed to be thinking about that very strategically. He talked about how what he hopes will happen, and if it doesn't, then he will try to manifest it in any way that he can, is that alliances will form, and that it will not be the case of just like nobody really knows who to target, that anybody but me, let's just go for somebody easy, because that's when people like Cliff Hogg get sent home first.
Right.
But when it's like, oh, two sides form very quickly, there are big alliances, there are power plays that need to be made, that's when people like Cliff Hogg get to skate by. So he's hoping that he can help that grow if he can.
He had a great line with Big Jeff when Big Jeff was asking him about, would you rather win and be hated or lose and be loved? And he said, one giant mosquito.
It was amazing. Jeff was like, oh, what
mosquito, what? So, all right, we'll hope that things can work out for Cliff. We have not heard any word about whether we will have a night one eviction or anything like that. Last season, we were able to avoid that, and hopefully we will follow suit and not have anybody evicted during the two-night premiere.
Yes, that would be ideal.
Okay, so Cliff is here. Big age difference. Who's the second oldest person in the house?
Good question. It might be Sam at 31.
Wow, okay.
Holly is also 31.
Yeah, so we have two 31s, and then we have...
We can't forget, because I don't know what exactly about this one, but Jessica is 30-ish.
30-ish. That's a first in CBS reality casting, that we don't even get somebody's age straight on the bio.
Yeah, that's... Very cagey.
Very cagey. Cagey. I will say 30-ish sounds older than 31.
It does. It does to me.
And we don't even know. 30-ish might not even be in the 30s. Like, I could say I'm 30-ish.
Could you?
I could say it.
Well, yeah. I mean, I guess if you look at it from the perspective of like zero... to current age, you know, you're closer to 30 than
30-ish does not necessarily mean 30s.
Yeah. It, you know, if she is actually 30, then she made a big mistake saying 30-ish.
Yeah. Okay. So Jessica, I thought that she came across well in her interview with Jeff.
Yes, she seemed fine. It was funny seeing her directly after Jackson, because she was the complete opposite of Jackson, who I'm sure we'll talk about. But she was very in the mood to kind of give Jeff what he wanted. She was very people-pleasing. Mm-hmm. He even commented on it, where he was asking her questions about, like, what is your strategy? What are you going to do? And she basically responded to his question with a question. Like, well, I think what I need to do is, like, have a really good social game, mm-hmm. right? And he was like, you're not asking me, you're telling me.
Yeah.
But I think that's a good quality to have in the Big Brother house.
I think so as well. Taryn, who are some of your other favorites from today?
Okay, so I really liked Ovi.
Yes.
Ovi, he's 22 years old, but he doesn't seem 21.
Mm-hmm.
Like, watching him, he looks like a teenager when I see him.
Yeah.
But when I think of him, my mental image of him is somebody who's like 30-ish. So it's very strange. He seems very mature. He, I think, recently graduated from college. He is one of many people who is going to really heavily miss his dog.
There was so much dog talk. I don't know if that the Big Brother 21 casting process was like some sort of a search query of people who have Instagrams for their pets, and then they worked backwards from that. But every single person was talking about, okay, so what are you going to miss most when you're in the house? Oh, my dog. Here's my dog's Instagram. And it was a lot. Every single person.
Yeah. His dog has an Instagram. He's a pretty big fan of the show.
Taryn, I feel so bad for these dogs' Instagrams, because at the end of the summer, that dog's Instagram is going to be like, you a-hole, I can't believe, why didn't you vote for this person, you stupid idiot? That these pets are going to be dragged on social media.
Yeah, the people are going to be, can you believe what your master did and said on that show? How could you still associate with him, dog?
Call the ASPCA.
It's not going to be good. We need to, you know, the loved ones of Big Brother players, they often contact each other and support each other. We need to make sure these dogs have pet support.
Yes, absolutely. So I hope that...
Where's Eric Stein's dog?
Yeah, baby Dino the dog. Maybe this is a good omen for Eric getting back on the show.
They'll be looking.
Yeah. Also, with Ovi, that he ended up getting into the show because a teacher was showing Big Brother in a classroom. I think is that recommended, Taryn?
I do recommend it. I thought that was very smart. I think that there's a lot to be learned. That's one of the reasons why I loved Big Brother growing up, is I do feel like there's a lot to be learned in terms of like the sociological aspect of the show, the psychological aspect of the show, and how people interact. And so I think it's very smart to show him, to show students that sort of thing. And I think it's a very good sign that that's how Ovi was introduced to the show, because he probably started watching the show from an analytical standpoint. And has been watching for a long time since. And he's gone back and watched all of the seasons. So that's one of the reasons why I'm really into him.
Okay, good. Well, you're making me feel like a better dad for showing Big Brother to my kids, then, at least.
Well, are you teaching them the sociological impact of the game, or are you showing them like
cat suits? Yeah, I'm showing them like, hey, look, watch this. Want to see Otev slime somebody? Otev blast somebody with his skunk spray? They really like
there is one downside to Ovi. I'm not somebody that cares this much, but I know this is a very controversial subject, but he's a big croc person.
Oh, a pro croc person.
Pro croc. He has 10 different pairs of crocs in his closet.
Yeah, you don't find a lot of pro croc people.
It's a very popular shoe, but nobody's really the evangelist for Crocs.
Okay. All right. Maybe the Ovi is going to be a Croc endorser on Instagram after the season.
Yeah.
Okay. Give me one other person that you thought was a really interesting casting choice.
Interesting casting choice. Let's see here. Here's a tricky one. Catherine.
Okay.
She's 29 years old. She's a digital marketing executive, addicted to social media.
Yes. Yes. Another dog person. Yes.
Yes. So she initially kind of put me off because she was very much just like, I love the show. In fact, it's the only show I even watch. In fact, I literally just bought a TV 2 months ago.
Yes.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay. As she was talking to Jeff, it felt like she was figuring out how the game worked. Like she was like, well, so what I want to do is like win some competitions, but then I guess if I do that, then people will start to see me as a threat. And then, so maybe I should try to not to win, but I guess I should try to win when I can. Right. Like she was still working through how the game works. She had a very awkward moment where she said, scotch free.
Yes. Which this was a whole thing that we've already explored this on Big Brother. And we did this last season when it was Angela.
Scotch free.
Yeah.
It's very clear to me that Jeff did not watch Big Brother 20.
Yes. So. Yes. This is a brand new point that I've not heard explored before.
Somebody later is going to ask him, that alliance last season, I can't remember the name. And he's like, yeah, those guys. but she, as a social media, like marketing, like that's all she does. She says without any sarcasm that, nobody's going to hate me.
Yeah. No, I think a lot of these people did not seem to have a good grasp on the Big Brother social media bubble.
Yes. So I found that to be amusing. She also, one of her facts is that she's been tweeted by Kim Kardashian. So like, she is really just like this person. Like her life is social media.
That's so weird to me, because I don't feel like social media should be a hobby. I feel like that people should have interests and then follow those interests on social media, but I don't think that social media should be the thing. Is that weird?
Literally what she said was that she would watch more TV, but she's so busy with social media, she doesn't have time for both of those hobbies.
Yeah. Like, I get it. Like, I watch TV and then I talk about it on social media. But it's like that. It's my love of social media isn't stopping me from watching the TV.
Yes. But so this, you know, like I said, right away, this kind of put me off. But as it went on and she became like more and more of this caricature, I feel like I came to appreciate her. Like, she went so far down in my estimation that she came out the other side like so bad it's good. And I'm very excited to see what she does on the season, especially because, as she mentioned, she is very fit and she is going to try to win as many competitions as she can. I think that we could be looking at somebody that is very fun to watch on the show.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I hope that they're all fun to watch, and they don't all have to be perfect, and there can be things that we like and dislike about these people, but we're lucky that we get to have this social experiment once again this summer, even if it's for 100 days.
Yes, I could absolutely see her being social media obsessed, being like a endearing quirk for her underdog character.
Not a quirky queen like Nicole.
No. Not the queen.
Can we mention Nicole real quick also? Who,
yes.
I do feel like very at home with this cast. A lot of people from the, you know, Long Island, New York area. And
there are three people with heavy New York accents.
Yeah. No, I feel very much at home with this cast. Nicole Anthony, who is the 24-year-old preschool aide with kind of like a dark side.
Quirky queen. She said in her bio, one of her facts was that she was a bit of a terror when she was young, and she once locked her parents in the basement because they wouldn't tell her what was in a bag. She also called 911 on her parents because she didn't get her way, and she unscrewed the lug nuts in the upstairs toilet and practically flooded the kitchen. So not kidding when she said she used to be a terror.
Yeah. All right. So let's see. See what happens with this group. Now, Taryn, there have been some facts and some rumors and some speculation going on with this cast about a potential twist involving Big Brother 21. And I would say that the most concrete piece of evidence that we have in regards to this comes from the great Hamster Watch, who I believe was the first to report about a potential connection between two of our cast members.
Yes. So two of the people here, Tommy, the other two with New York accents, Tommy and Christy apparently know each other. There was an Instagram photo or post that was posted in 2015 on Thanksgiving, where Tommy said something along the lines of like, "Oh, I love my family." And you could see Christy in the photo tagged with her arm around another woman. And the speculation is that she used to date Tommy's aunt. And so that's how they knew each other. So they very much are aware of each other. At the very least, she was at his Thanksgiving. He would, I'm sure, recognize her if she if they see each other in the house.
Okay. Now, we have had this type of thing before, especially on the Big Brother Canada side. I feel like that there's been a couple of different times where people have known each other, but I cannot think of a time in Big Brother US where this was just a coincidence, where we have house guests that at least have a pre-existing relationship.
Yes. I mean, you know, some of the closest calls that we've had were things like Tyler and Angela last season, where they were from the same hometown, but and maybe had seen each other around, you know, once in a while, but had never really interacted before. Certainly not something to the extent that they know each other. They've been to, you know, Thanksgiving dinner or anything like that.
All right. Well, this is a data point, and we say, okay. Now, there is a lot of rampant speculation, and I use that word, that we don't have too much else confirmed at this point, but the rumor mill, as it always is with Big Brother, especially, that's how you know when it's June, because the Big Brother rumor mill gets red hot. And so, Taryn, there is a lot of other people trying to connect the dots with other potential pairs in the house.
Yes. There is speculation that Catherine and Holly know each other, I think from perhaps the pageant circuit or something along those lines. And then there are a lot of just other coincidences, like people from the same hometown or who went to the same school. Apparently, Ovi and Jackson were both at the same school with the same major at the same time. So there's speculation about that. There's this weird coincidence where Istabella went and hiked Mount Kilimanjaro. Mm-hmm. And Jack also hiked Kilimanjaro. And there's even a photo of Bella with somebody that looks a lot like Jack, but is maybe not Jack. She did it with an ex and his cousin. Her ex is not Jack. Her ex is named Bill. But who knows who the cousin was?
Okay.
Never know. So there's a lot of internet detective work going on right now.
And by the time you're listening to this, maybe there are more things confirmed or more things shot down. But Taryn, do you think that we could be shaping up for some Big Brother 6 type setup where people who have some sort of a relationship outside of the house are competing together?
It could be. We could be in for a Summer of Secrets. That might be what we're looking at. It could be, you know, something more along the lines of like Big Brother 8, where maybe just a few people have, you know, one other person that they know, and it's very public. It could be something like, you know, Big Brother 4, they did exes. This doesn't seem like that,
yeah.
Unless it's ex of a family member.
So, Taryn, remind me, in Big Brother 6, did everybody have a partner, or it was just a bunch of people had partners and there were some people that did not have a partner?
Everybody had a partner in Big Brother 6, and they were secret partners. Then the secret lasted like 2 days, if that, because everybody immediately realized, oh, I'm not the only one. Mm-hmm. But they were secret partners, and the deal was if you made it to the final two with your partner, then you would make $1 million. But that, you know, that didn't happen.
Okay. All right. So we will be on the lookout for that. Do you have any strong feeling one way or the other if that is the twist for Big Brother 21?
I mean, I would say at this point, given some of the evidence that we've seen and how quickly people were able to find out that that Tommy and Christy definitively did know each other, and how often I think people are found through Instagram in the first place, it seems like this is not something that it would be that hard to miss. Mm-hmm. So I would lean more toward this is an intentional twist than not.
Okay. And in terms of your personal reaction to it, do you have any strong feeling one way or the other? Do you like it or dislike it?
I dislike it. I think that it can work. You know, obviously Big Brother 6 worked in its own way, but I think that Big Brother 6 worked not because of the twist, but because of the cast. Like, it was such a dynamic cast, and the twist was almost forgotten. I mean, people barely remember that the twist even existed. So then any other, you know, duos or pairs have not really panned out in a great way. Big Brother 4 is not exactly remembered as the, you know, highest quality season. Big Brother 8 was certainly fun, but not really because of the twist, unless you say that Dick and Danielle really made it for you. But even then, that's kind of a unique pairing that really just happened to work. Big Brother 13 was, you know, we just did this Big Brother season rankings podcast, is ranked as one of the lowest seasons in terms of how the audience tended to view it, or at least our audience did. And then even, you know, Big Brother 9, where they paired people off, was just not a very successful way of going about things. Having people operate in pairs is just not as fun as seeing a bunch of individuals integrate into the house. And even when I'm trying to, you know, analyze analyze how these people will get along with everyone else. It's like, oh, well, you know, I think Tommy could fit in really well with this group, and I think that he could do very well in the game. But if he's attached to Christy, who I think might not fit in with some of these other people, then I don't know how that's going to work. I think that maybe he might get dragged down by that, or who knows. Maybe it will go in a fun place, but in general, I'm a little bit skeptical, and I'd rather just have 16 individuals.
Yeah, I don't have a strong feeling one way or the other in terms of if this is actually going to be a thing. I'm with you. I think that there is a lot of evidence to point us in that direction in terms of how I feel about it. I'm sort of indifferent. I guess we have to see how it plays out in terms of the actual season of the show. I think it could be fun. We'll see.
It could be, yeah. And especially, like, I think that as long as they shy away from, as long as they don't go full into this and say, you are playing as a duo and get evicted as a duo or nominated, that's where I think they've really failed anytime they've tried that. And that's what really, I think, really just dampens the gameplay. As long as they get to play as individuals, even though they might know somebody else, I think we're going to be fine.
Well, I think that we have yet to find somebody who is connected to Cliff. Until we find that person, I think it's hard to imagine that that will be the overall theme of the season, where you're playing with a partner. That unless some people are then also like perfect strangers.
Maybe the blind date or whatever.
Yeah, on that Amazing Race season where, you know, some of the people were on a blind date and some of the people knew each other. So
yeah,
and that was also a very mixed bag.
It was. It really was.
Yeah, although that did give us Jeff and Jackie, Big Brother 17 contestants. So,
and Team Fun.
Yeah.
Right?
Okay. I think that Team Fun was actually a different Amazing Race season where they, like, everybody, the whole thing was blind date.
Oh.
Not the Jeff and Jackie season where they were on a blind date, but there were also some teams that knew each other.
Okay.
It's confusing. It's confusing.
It is confusing.
Okay. All right. So, Taryn, looking forward to getting into our draft coming up this week, where you and myself and Melissa and Brent will go ahead and put the title back up for grabs of who is the reigning Big Brother drafting champion as I hunt for my first title.
Yes. You know, I decided to turn the winning on recently. I ended up winning the Big Brother Canada 7 draft.
You're
and
back.
The Stockwatch. But you know what? Maybe I'll turn it off for a season just to give you a shot here.
Okay. Well, I would appreciate that. Thank you so
much. I'll think about
it. Don't throw it, though.
Well, I would never throw it. Okay. It's just turning off the guaranteed win.
All right. So we will be back later on this week with that. Excited to talk about some more Big Brother, of course, that we have tons of Big Brother chatter going on in our Rob is a Podcast patron Big Brother group, one of our Facebook groups that is going on over on our Patreon community. Go over to robhasawebsite.com/patron for more information about everything that we're doing, our patron-only podcast feed, and much more at robhasawebsite.com/patron. And also, if you want to subscribe to the live feeds, if you are not yet a CBS All Access subscriber, you can go ahead and get your live feeds through robhasawebsite.com by going to robhasawebsite.com/live feeds. Be sure to follow Taryn. He is on Twitter at Armstrong Taryn, and I am at Rob Sestrino. Taryn, anything else?
You can find me on Twitch, twitch.tv/Taryn Armstrong. I just did a 4-hour stream of watching the Jeff interviews. So, you could check that out if you wanted to, but, it's more of a live thing. But, if you follow me there, then you can find other streams that I will be doing across the season of Big Brother.
All right. So looking forward to talking more Big Brother later this week. Take care, everybody. Have a good one. Bye.